You're listening to The Kylo Show, the podcast where we talk about how to keep your love on no matter what and why whole healthy families are going to save the world. And it starts right now.
Hello and welcome to The Kylo Show and welcome to 2023.
Boom. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. We made it. We're just starting this next year.
Goodness sakes.
Can't believe it's already here. I can't believe that we're coming up on almost 2 years of doing this. That's the other thing I was thinking about.
How many episodes are we in?
It's 95.
95 of these things.
So.
That's momentum.
That's a lot.
And thanks everybody for listening.
Seriously.
To 95. A bunch of you people listen to all of them.
Listen to all of them. You share them with everybody.
We've been doing this long enough to have faithful listeners.
Yes. Our faithful crowd, so we appreciate that.
We do.
Yeah. Well, I was sitting with somebody the other day, and they were asking me about my book coming out and if I'm going to do the audio. And I said, yeah. I said, I've finally gotten over the reality that people hear my voice consistently now, mm-hmm. more than they've ever. I always thought I'd sound like a 12-year-old little girl, but if I do.
Only when you're bison hunting.
Only then. When I have pigtails that are braided.
Then you look like a 12-year-old little girl. That's true. I have photos.
But it was just pretty funny. I just then kept saying the intro to The Kylo Show. Hello, and welcome to The Kylo Show. It probably sounds the same. So I need to come up with a new welcome, but I don't have anything better.
It totally works.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
But today, we're going to do a bunch of questions.
Awesome.
So that's really what we're jumping into for the new year is starting off with answering all your questions.
I'm feeling especially good today.
You are. I went
racing this weekend. I am no longer the weak link on my team. I don't feel successful. Yeah, I know. It's so interesting how going out on that racetrack just equalizes you with the younger men. That's what I've discovered. I can be younger out on that track. It's just my foot, my eyes, my hands, and
I'm not out on that track, so I don't really know at all what that feels like. But it is
so much fun.
You are either really excited and happy, or you are not.
Last couple weeks ago, I was really bummed because I was the weak link. I was out there, hadn't raced in a couple years, and I was a little timid, and.
You got your courage back.
Tossed my timid out the window this weekend, man. It was raining. It was crazy. It was, and then the next day the sun came out. You shave 50 seconds off your lap time. You're like, that's pretty good. And the best guy is the only one that beat me. Everybody else is, trying to catch me. It was super fun.
And, I don't know what that relates to the Kylo or whole and healthy, except for
just my mood. It's just a mood influencer.
There you go. Great. Well, this will be really fun then to answer questions because he's really excited and happy. Can't wait. So on that note, we should welcome Amanda is the first one up for 2023. Here we go.
Come on, Amanda.
Hey, guys. I was curious to get your thoughts on how you might handle conversations with people who might not have the same spiritual beliefs that you have, but you still want to stay in friendship with them. I've gone through a season where I feel like God has been placing me around other believers who don't believe the same thing. And so I've been trying really hard to hear them fully and to understand where they're coming from and to try to see the perspective that they have. Especially with them pointing to specific scriptures and just having a certain belief. And so I've been trying to listen and understand, but in that I feel like I get tossed around and confused. And so I was just wondering, how do you listen to someone and hear them out fully, but not lose the integrity of what you believe while still being open and humbled to the idea that you might be off, even if you can't fully articulate why. I hope that makes sense. Would love y'all's thoughts.
Makes sense.
Yeah, sounds like she's got herself in a work environment or a new church environment or something that she's been called. That's what she said. She's got her found herself in some new relationships.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But
well, I think if you put somebody in a race car with you, it'll change their beliefs right away. That, I mean, they'll be just, you know, they'll be agreeing with you all day long. Actually, I think that this is probably one of the biggest problems in our day, is that we really do not know how to keep our love on with people who disagree with us. We don't know really what a culture of honor is. Hmm. And if I sift through relationships looking for myself, like, I love all the me mm-hmm. in you. Mm-hmm. If that is my standard of righteousness or even truth, then basically what I'm saying to everyone around me is, I'm right and you're not. I'm valuable and you're not. Now, nobody's purposefully doing that, but the whole cancel culture thing is that, mm-hmm. is if I can't find me in you, you're not worth having around. And I don't understand where we perpetuate that. I understand where we get it. We get it from self-consciousness, self-preservation, you know,
sure.
over and valuing ourselves. I get where we find it, but the more we mature our love, the more I can look at you and think, you're nothing like me, and yet you are still created in the image of God, and you're worth dying for. And when Jesus was asked by his disciples, you know, what must we do? You know, what do you want us to do? He said, believe. He didn't say, believe the exact same thing. He essentially was going after, believe in me.
Yeah.
And then I think from there, we've run into a bunch of very scared leader cultures that have trained people to believe like the teachers, like the leaders, or be afraid of being wrong and being rejected by this cluster of people who agree with each other. And so church culture was the first cancel culture. They would just cut your head off, you know, if you said anything. Galileo one time says, you know, the early Catholic, Roman Catholic Church, hey, you know what? The earth is not the center. The sun is. Everything's orbiting around the sun. And they said, we don't think that. Okay, we think that the earth's the center. You better change your tone, buddy, or you're going to get kicked out of the club. Actually, we're going to cancel you, put you in prison. So, you know, it goes way back for us. Mm-hmm. And that training gets stuck in our value system. I think, you know, when you have children, they say things that you just shake your head. You go, what? Honey, no. You're not going to be in the NBA. You can dribble a ball, but you're not going to be in the NBA. But you know what? You go buy them a jersey. You get them lessons. You get send them to camp. You do everything you can because you love them, not because you agree with them. Mm-hmm. You love them. And you'll look for ways to support them. But agreement is not going to be the basis of love, even in your marriage.
Mm-hmm. I think that, I mean, her question is even a little bit, how do I maintain a relationship when they have different views and it sounds like they're probably big opinions that are coming in mm-hmm. to her.
And she sounds like a gentle soul.
She does. Mm-hmm. She sounds very sweet. And, you know, how does she, even navigating that, staying true to her beliefs, like how do you anchor yourself when you feel like, I want to create a space for somebody who has a different opinion that wants to share different spiritual beliefs, but not get distracted or become deluded by someone else's opinion. For me, I think she's got to stay tied to the an anchor, a source of where her truth comes from. You know, maybe it's believing the supernatural or the spiritual gifts. I mean, I don't know what the breakdown is that they don't agree with, but how does she stay anchored in that and still be respectful?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because she doesn't sound like she wants to start a war with anybody, but she also wants to be a loving person that nurtures a relationship, but can still set a boundary.
And interesting enough, you know, sometimes opposition and or even persecution drives your faith deeper because it forces you to actually consider and study what it is that you do think. Because if you just stand there and argue what you know, it's probably not enough if you find somebody else that dug deeper on what they think.
Yeah.
So you either abandon what you brought or you go back and you sink your roots down. Mm-hmm. I went through 8 years of university and they were pounding me for 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like the USS Enterprise and Klingon territory every day I went in there. And I came out clearer about what I believe to be true and why it's, you know, what I'm going to devote my life to because I discovered all these other ways of thinking that I just listened to, considered, and went back and found, oh, that is going to come apart soon.
Yeah.
That's going to have to change. But this thing that I'm standing on is a rock.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't have to be upset. I don't have to make anybody a villain. I'm not a victim. But I was seriously contended with, and I had to grow that thing. I would just say to Amanda, I would say, hang out with the people you enjoy.
Yeah.
If you're not enjoying being around with these people, don't worry about them not being your hangouts, you know? You need to find people, they don't have to agree with you about everything, mm-hmm. but you enjoy them. That's really where your strongest friendships are going to be, is in places where you experience the most joy.
Mm-hmm.
And when that joy dissipates, I'm sorry to say that relationship is going to dissolve.
Yeah, totally.
So look for people that you enjoy, whether you agree with them or not.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely your community. Mm-hmm. I mean, you want to mm-hmm. find people that are like-minded and going where you are. So mm-hmm. it's great. Awesome. Well, good question, Amanda. Way to start us off.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to read some questions as well today because you guys got to keep bringing us questions. We love it. So you're going to go to thekyloshow.com. and submit your question or your testimony there, or other emails, stuff like that. But we prefer to hear your voice because it's a lot more fun.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to read a question that somebody sent us in. Unfortunately, I don't know who it is. But it says, what if you ask for feedback from leadership and they refuse to give you feedback? What do you do then? That's all I got.
Hmm.
I don't have any more than that. This is why we love for you to record it and explain it a little bit more. But I'm guessing they're trying to grow, and they keep asking for, tell me what I'm doing wrong or tell me what I'm doing good, and they're not really getting much.
Well, I mean, if you were to walk up to your boss and say, would you please speak to me in Portuguese? And they don't. Does that mean they're doing something wrong?
Mm-hmm.
No, it probably just means that they don't know how to give you what you're asking for. And this is not a feedback culture. If the leaders don't know how to give feedback without feeling like they are hurting you mm-hmm. or they have to be upset or whatever, I think all you've discovered is that you're in a culture that's not a feedback culture.
Mm-hmm. Is there a way to help that person give feedback? My mind goes super practical to asking the questions like, hey, if I ask you how well this event went and if there's anything I could change, would you be comfortable with giving me a few things? Could you break it down instead of just saying, do you have feedback for me? Does that feel less, scary potentially? I don't know. I that's what I immediately think about. If the word feedback terrifies everyone, could you break it down to smaller questions?
Yeah, that could be a great approach, just asking better questions.
Mm-hmm. That's totally what I go to. I'm like, maybe it's just a different question. Feedback can be so scary for someone that thinks it's harsh or it's going to be hurtful.
Yeah, and then you better be ready to say, wow, thank you so much. That helps me so much. That was awesome, beautiful, wonderful. Because when they come across with, yeah, it was great. It was great. I think we did a great event. There are a couple things that went wrong. Some of the things just drive me nuts, and it's anything I'm doing drive. I still like you. No, that could be what you run into is if I have any feedback for you, I'll bring a flamethrower. Mm. And when they do, you better be ready to say, thank you so much for that.
Yeah.
And listen better than they talk.
Sure.
Because this is where you discover why this is not a feedback culture, because the only people that get it are on the verge of losing their job.
Sure. I always love your analogy of feedback is the tissue. You always take this tissue, like the whole sheet is, or tissue is feedback, and then you just peel off the little, tiny little corner, and somehow you always do a magic trick, and it looks like you're eating it.
I know.
You never eat it, but it always looks like it. And it's more about looking at the information you've been given and seeing where you can see, oh, yeah, I didn't execute that well. Mm-hmm. But even in that, you have to be willing to be honest with yourself.
Right. I mean, you have to be looking for it. You have to be hungry to learn. You have to see areas where you don't have it together and or you need to improve.
Mm-hmm.
That takes a certain amount of confidence and courage and humility. I actually want to adjust if is needed.
Yeah, totally. Well, feedback's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have any more than that question around feedback, so we'll just move on to the next one. And the next question comes to us from Jocelyn.
Hello, Danny and Brittany. I've been watching or listening to your show for some time now. And I've heard often you talk about asking good questions in regard to helping someone see their problem if they don't see it. I wanted to ask specifically about how would you ask a question to somebody that you may not have a close relationship to, but that you see red flags in their relationships or in their lives, but you don't necessarily want to give them empty advice or give them advice if they don't want to hear it. How would you go about that problem, and what kind of questions would you ask in that situation? Thank you.
It's hard to really give a heartfelt walk with you through a problem with someone you don't have a deep relationship with.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the analogy that instantly pops into my mind is, I have this, my barista that I see every week, multiple times a week. And I learned about her life, and her boyfriend sounds like a jerk and she needs to be done. And I've known the heartache that she's had because I've been going to this coffee shop for years. And I just want to tell her, but I don't actually have any relationship with you outside of this exchange. And so the ability to really see fruit come from it, this is just shy of like a miracle of it really taking root. Cause I don't know if you actually want help or I'm just a place to process, that's a hard place to navigate. And that's kind of what I hear a little bit in her question is it's this distant kind of relationship, not really, but you've got really good information that you want her to have, but what do you do in that tension?
The key really is, to lean into communicating that you care about this person, mm-hmm. that that you're willing to listen 90% more than you are willing to advise. But you can ask a question in such a way that it impacts them like advice.
Yeah.
You know, are you feeling connected in your relationship with this person? When they talk to you like that, does it feel respectful or did that hurt? Mm-hmm. You know, and they begin to counsel themselves, really, because they begin to say, I feel disconnected and hurt. Yeah. And so have you communicated it like that, or are you just giving the same thing back to them? Mm-hmm. You know, and eventually they have a movie going on in their head because yeah. of the questions that you're asking, and a lot of this is practice. I mean, a lot of it really does come from being so comfortable not giving advice, being just so ready to not spout your opinion and let somebody actually think in front of you and not have to solve it for them or not steer them, mm-hmm. or not, you know, issue directions and instructions. And if you can practice on kids, it's the most fun is asking kids, because we look at children like, I want you to learn. I want you to think. I want you to problem solve. We look at adults like, you should know this already. What is the matter with you? So if you're not very connected to this person, they don't have much to lose by rejecting your advice.
Don't they?
So become very valuable by being a great listener,
mm-hmm.
and ask them if you're hearing them correctly the whole time they're talking. So if I understand what you're saying, is this what you're saying? Is this what you're feeling? Is this what you're needing? And they'll learn mm-hmm. just from you listening.
Yeah. I think about our Kylo evangelists, that's what we call them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the people that have these relationships that are kind of what you're describing. The encounters that people are having with them are, they're great listeners. They ask really good questions. They seem intentional and present whenever they're around them, whether it's a restaurant or coffee shop or work, I don't know. But because of their stewarding of the relationship at this level, and the questions and the availability of being present in that moment, there's been a lot of people that have gotten an invitation to go deeper, and that's usually when they give away Keep Your Love On as a, why don't you start here? And then you get to actually see, is this person really wanting change? Are they really wanting to go deeper? Because then they come back to you and go, okay, I read this book. I need more. And then that opens up a different door. But I think people that are able to use the Keep Your Love On book as an extension of, let's see how hungry you are for change. Mm-hmm.
But don't get your daughter-in-law a copy of Keep Your Love On for Christmas. You know, don't you dare.
Mm-mm.
Because that is...
Not unless it's on her Christmas list. If it is not on there, do not send it as a message.
Yeah. Yeah, because don't send this to your son, you know, because you guys just had a fight and he was disrespectful to mm-hmm, you. Don't you do it. Don't be solving people's problems that they don't have.
Yeah.
Because you're going to end up hurt.
You're going to end up hurt and more disconnected. Mm-hmm. And that's a bummer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think some of my favorite things in coaching sessions when it's discovery call is when I can see, you know, they haven't read Keep Your Love On. I don't know how people get to us without reading that book still. But when it's happened, I say, before you book more sessions with me, read that book. Because
mm-hmm.
I don't like to work with people that don't want to work on a problem. It's mm-hmm. not very fun for me.
No.
So that is definitely a, all right, you go see if you're really ready and then come find me.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of what I think that Jocelyn's got to get that practice in of the waiting game of being patient and not inserting. But you if you practice that, you do come up with really, really great questions. I think it's fun to a skill because everyone starts to notice that you.
I tell people, ask 5 questions before you give 1 word of advice.
It's good. Mm-hmm. There you go. It's a 5-in-1.
5-in-1. Kylo 5-in-1. What acronym can we put on that?
No, okay. All right. I have a question to read. It says, I'm curious, as a social worker, how did you approach working with service providers or individuals whom held bias, lacked trauma-informed practices, had lots of ego, or just didn't have follow-through with what they agreed to do? I find this the most difficult part of my practice because the stakes are high, children, family well-being. Thank you. You've been an inspiration for over the last 15 years. So, social worker who is working with, I don't know if it's just service provider. So they, I don't know all the ins and outs of who they're working with, but it's quite an arrangement of people from schools to mm-hmm. court services to
foster care, doctor
all
care.
Of it. Yeah. Yeah. It's all over the place.
It's most likely, you know, foster care. But, there are standards and there are things that people are accountable to, but there are, you know, so many ways to get
around it,
below the standard, yeah. You know, 'cause when you read that standard, you think, you know, 8, 9, 10, when they read that standard, they think 4, 5, 6.
Yeah.
And yeah. You're like, oh my gosh, you know what? I would never treat my child like this. Mm-hmm. And they say, well,
you don't know this kid
or
whatever.
I've tried to do X, Y, and Z. And so there's just the difference of experience, you know, in the home with the child. And you know, there are different realities. Like, this social worker, no doubt, has an education, has a skill set, has experience, has possibly is a parent, and is, you know, has their own relationship and produced results. Mm-hmm. And this other person or these other people, and it may be like the executive director of an agency or something, that out one side of their mouth says, you know, we have the highest standards, da 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 da, and then they certify people that have a body temperature. You know, I mean, that was the, you just go, oh my gosh, how is this person in charge of children? Mm-hmm. And it happens. It really does. And it is very frustrating. I think I would just keep moving up the chain of command until I found someone who would activate to bring some confrontation, some requirement of adjustment, and help supervise that situation at a higher level than mm-hmm. I can personally. Because this social worker quite likely could have, you know, 60, 70, 80, 100 cases on her personal caseload. And hers or his, I didn't catch if it was a...
It doesn't say so.
And you cannot... That system right there, you cannot provide the level of supervision that you feel responsible to. Mm-hmm. So you end up just basically managing fires and a whole bunch of these just, so if they're not screaming for help, they must be doing fine, you know? Yeah. So there's that whole thing. But if you can, because there, you know, people are wanting to do a great job out there. People are in this field to do a good job, and there are people that are not. There just are. Yeah. That's just how this goes. Any field.
Yeah.
You know, there's pastors out there trying to do a really great job. Most of the ones I know trying to do a great job. There are some people out there that should not be doing this. Mm-hmm. You know, in every profession. I would keep moving up the chain of command until you find, because if this person's like working for the county, mm-hmm. they can keep rattling the cage until they find somebody that will respond. Mm. And I would, that's exactly what I would do. I just kind of talk to your manager. Can I talk to your manager? Can I talk to your supervisor? You know, I would just keep moving up the yeah. chain. And then if you can't find anybody in that agency or that organization, that service providers that will respond to you, it's probably not just you. It's probably other social workers involved with that same agency. And eventually, collectively, you get your people to talk to their people about whether or not we're moving forward on this. Mm-hmm. And then there's a whole catch-22 in there, because maybe there's only one or two providers in your area.
Yeah.
And now it's, you know, you're dealing with scarcity.
Mm-hmm. So what I'm hearing you say is there's a lot of things this person potentially cannot control, which is what they're looking at. Mm-hmm. But what they can control is the way in which they conduct themselves and handle themselves, and then really have large vision to keep going forward mm-hmm. with the call that they've, you know, had on their life to be in social work.
Mm-hmm. And just as you're talking, I'm thinking, I remember a probation officer mm-hmm. that worked in a county, and her approach to dealing with parents that were just losing it with their kids is she moved closer to them. Mm. She moved in like a friend, like a resource, like and eventually like a mentor. Mm. Once these parents began to lose how intimidating her authority was. Mm. You know, she's a probation officer,
yeah.
and they think they're in trouble because sure. their kid was doing stupid stuff. The yeah. parents automatically think,
I'm a failure. Yeah, all of that.
And the probation officer came in, and she was excellent. Mm. She was excellent, and she looked like a judge, you know. She just, when she, I was afraid of her, you know, and she would just lean in and listen to them and support them and eventually inspire them mm-hmm. to get in classes. So that's another really helpful approach, is to move towards them mm-hmm. in the relationship. I probably should have started there, but that might be something that, you know, we just don't expect, is they don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. They want to do better. They don't know what to do. And if you can make a connection, you might be able to lead the horse to water, so to speak.
Yeah.
And maybe they are thirsty.
Yeah. That's great. I love it. I think that, you know, there's a lot of social workers or people that work in services that help people that I think find us because we are in the people business.
Yeah.
And it's always interesting to me, especially, you know, we have our Kylo community where we've got a lot of nurses or social workers or counselors. We have just a really large community of people that are in the service professionally mm-hmm. for serving people.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know this person's name, but I think if you're not part of the Kylo community, it might be a really great place to just come and be refreshed in strategizing of what they're doing in their field and in different ways. Cause you know, you're like, oh yeah, that's right. There's this probation officer. And I think it's those moments where we have people that are, you know, have a heart, a mindset, and really a calling that they're attacking and chasing after. But if you don't have people that are thinking like you all the time, it's hard to pull from that. And I just think this person, you know, asking this question in our Kylo community probably would have had a lot of potential help mm-hmm. from other people that are doing that, which yeah. is really great. And I love that. So, I mean, if you haven't heard about Kylo community, it is this place that we are just really gathering people mm-hmm. that are doing the Kylo 5, that are doing all the things. We're going through all the Life Academy courses. It has all these different things available to them in it, and it's really powerful. And I guess I would just invite you to be curious and check it out, which mm-hmm. you can do at kylocommunity.com. It just has some really great opportunities And it's a fun place to see what is coming out of.
And it's a, you know, it's a benefit for our donors, you know, like we've a donation of $25 a month, recurring gives you access to this whole community, the input of our team, the, you know, a trek through the Life Academy, kind of a guided tour. We have a once a month event that, you know, I show up and give, I teach and train, and our Kylo coaches jump in the breakout sessions, and then we get to ask, you know, the group gets smaller and it gets more intimate.
Totally.
And there's lots of really great discussions.
Yeah. And I think that's the fun part is those who choose to join us on those calls, it's a Zoom call, so we get to see your faces, and then you get to go into a group, and it's this, we're taking, our heart is the Kylo community that has been a following of the show would get to be activated and seen and helped in these smaller settings. So,
Just like-minded people that are dedicating themselves to whole healthy families are going to save the world.
That's it.
You know, and it's super fun.
Yeah. Well, we're going to jump into our testimony, so we'll be back in just a second. All right, well, we're going to jump into our testimony, and today's testimony comes to us from Josh.
Hi, Danny and Brittany. I just wanted to thank you both for the role and impact that you've had in my life and by extension to the lives of the people in my family and my friends and my church. Just so grateful for the Kylo principles and just the wisdom and the love that you guys have taught me. One of the biggest things I think I've learned through the Kylo principles and through the teachings is that I'm expected and actually required to show up if I want to have connection with people. And what I mean by that is it's okay for me to have needs. I think I used to have this idea that if I was a good Christian, my needs didn't matter at all. And all that mattered was meeting other people's needs. But what I realized was I was actually trying to control people by pretending I didn't have any needs. And then what would happen would be I would start getting miserable and depressed because I'd have all these needs that nobody knew about. And they didn't get to know me. I was hiding myself from them. And I just am so grateful that I learned that we both get to show up. That we're actually, if we want to have connection, we both have needs, and my needs matter. They don't matter more than other people's needs, but they don't matter less than other people's needs either. So I'm really grateful for that. I'm grateful for the Kylo Show and the other podcasts that you do, for the Life Academy, the books, and just for the impact and the way that you've poured out wisdom and love on the lives of people around me. And I'm really working to take the same thing and share it with other people because I've been changed. I really want to see other people changed and just get to know these principles because I really believe that's a big piece of what heaven looks like. So thank you both so much.
Josh is a good guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a Kylo community coach.
Hey. That's our very own.
Mm-hmm. And, you know. He's telling y'all, hey, it's good stuff. It's changed his life. I mean, I think he was a pastor for a while.
Still is.
Yeah, okay. So just the revelation of learning how important your needs are and just,
game changer.
I think, what he was already naturally really great at just got better. You know, I think he's just changing his life, his whole family's life, So fun.
There is a kind of a deceptive quality about die to yourself. You know, that whole idea of you got to die to yourself. You're like, well, yep, that's true. In his case, it was die to his fear of rejection. You know, it wasn't stoke the fear of rejection. Some people, it's, you know, die to your demand and learn to humble yourself and serve. But for other people, it is die to your terror of rejection and or invalidation. So stepping in with courage and or stepping in with humility is different forms of dying to yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think Josh reminds me of Ben a little bit and the journey that Ben's had to take on, really being so powerful and keeping his needs on the table.
Mm-hmm.
And I know what it did for us, you know, and I know what it did for our family and our kids, and I know what it's going to continue to do. So I think that I'm just excited for what Josh has brought to the table for his family.
Yeah.
And really all those that he helps. You know, I think Ben and I often are talking about just literally breaking off the fruit of our life in different areas, whether it's marriage and parenting. But Josh, that's what he does. So he's able to give away something new. So great.
It's true.
It's super fun.
It's super fun to watch people get whole and healthy.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Thank you, Josh, so much for giving us a great testimony of really just continuing to grow no matter what season that you're in. And it's a fun way to start off the new year because we've answered a bunch of questions.
Yep.
So good stuff. As always, thank you, everybody, for joining us on The Kyla Show, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. Never miss an episode of The Kyla Show by subscribing to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or watch us on the Loving on Purpose YouTube channel. Don't forget to submit your questions and testimonies to thekyloshow.com. The Kyla Show is produced by Ali Armading, co-produced by Ashley Beck and Anna Hill, sound engineer and edited by Taylor Silk, and show promoter Christian Zamora. Don't forget, whole healthy families, gonna save the world.